seated. Good evening to all of you tonight. You're kind of all over the place. I'm used to everybody right here, so I will try to look over here. But welcome to the high school girls and junior high girls. Yay! We love you. Yeah, we do. We don't know you, but we love you and we think you're cute. Are we having a light show? Was it flickering? And I'm sure that the high school girls already know about this, but the church will be hosting a one-day conference, and moms, listen up, for high school girls and college-age girls called Beloved, Accepted in the Beloved out of Ephesians 1. It's just going to be a great day. Good teaching, good encouragement and instruction for all those young girls. So here we are tonight. If you want to open your Bible to Psalm 139, you can do that. And I think I'm just going to read first 18 verses just so we can get our hearts cleansed and hear the Lord's heart. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me in, behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written. The days fashioned for me when there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God is absolutely amazing. And him being our creator, he has created these human bodies in a marvelous and wonderful way. And if I do not understand how anyone in the medical profession who has studied the human body can be an atheist. It just doesn't make sense because this thing doesn't just happen. It is strategically every little bit, every cell, every organ, every bit of everything was placed there by our God. And it is just amazing how he has put us together. There are no two people who are exactly the same. Fingerprints, personality, I mean, just everything. We are unique individuals. And God, as we saw from Psalm 139, he knows us. He knows our name. He knows the number of hairs on our head. That's changing all the time. He knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts before we know what we're going to think. So not only our physical selves are different from each other, but the gut of who a person is, who you really are, your temperament, your emotional makeup is very different from, I mean, we have similarities, but there's no two people exactly the same. It's great. We have lots of variety. And God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, He delights in every single one because He knows the differences and the uniqueness, and He loves us. So in this message, we're going to kind of explore the uniqueness of being a woman and how the Lord designed us and our bodies that are very different from men. Women tend to be nurturers. We tend to be encouragers, and we tend to be lovers. Not that men aren't, but women are more so. And I think that's because women are more so. We seem to have more emotional highs and more emotional lows, and then everything in the middle, all at the same time. And men don't seem, most men, I mean, there are some men who are quite emotional, but most men overall, they don't have the high highs, the low lows, and everything in between. They're more like, you know, like this, and we're like, you know, like this. We are all over the place. Now, God has given us these emotions to enjoy, but not be controlled by. And a lot of women are controlled by their emotions. We want to be spirit controlled. We want to be spirit filled and spirit controlled. And He's given us the power, and we do not have to be controlled by our emotions. This message is called Oceans of Emotions because a woman's emotional makeup is much like that of the ocean. It's as predictable as the tide, and yet it is as unpredictable as the sea. That it's calm and serene one day, you know, just smooth sailing. And then the next day there can be hurricanes and tidal waves and everything, again, everything in between. This is the sixth time that I have given this message. The first time was back in 1992. I was so young then. We all were. Maybe you weren't even born. Were you born? Wow. That's weird. Isn't that weird? The first time the Lord gave me this message to put together, it was a huge impact on my own life. I learned so much. I have continued to learn. How many years ago was that? 92, and I can't do math. Almost 21. They're quick. So 21 years. Oh yes, I've learned a ton and gone through so much, so many oceans of emotions. And for whatever reason, the Lord has used this message in so many women's lives. This is the one that I get the most feedback from. I get emails from, and people have listened to it all over the world. And it's just, it's humbling, but it's like, wow, we really need this message. We need to hear this. So I'm going to talk about our monthly cycle. Now, 21 years ago, people didn't talk about it as much as they talk about it. Everything is open now. I mean, everybody talks about everything. You got those horrible commercials on that talk about very private things. It's just disgusting. And it used to not be that way. So anyway, we're all used to hearing this stuff. And you know, whether we're embarrassed or not, I doubt that we will be. And I also want to share a little bit of my own journey, because I think that it does help to know that we're not alone. We're not the only one that goes through crazy emotions and things. I had never been, and I changed that to had ever been, a very, very emotional girl. I was not an emotional, I had an emotional sister, but I was not emotional. I was pretty even keel, and you know, didn't fly off the handle, didn't have boo-hoos, and you know, all of that kind of thing. I just kind of never cried easily at all. I was not sensitive. You could say just about anything to me, and it wouldn't bother me. It doesn't hurt my feelings. Of course, I would say just about anything to you too, and it would hurt your feelings. I started my period when I was 12, and it was, you know, well, I don't have to tell you what it was because you know, you've been there. But I didn't have an emotional anything. It was just, okay, this happens, and there you go. So there was no real, okay, I'm going to start my period kind of a thing for many years, for probably like 10, 15 years. And then it changed. So at that time before, and you might be sitting here today, whether you're young or old, and you may not have any kind of emotional up and downs with your monthly cycle. And so for me, I just thought, what is the big deal? Get a grip and get over it. I don't know what your problem is. Because naturally everyone should be like me who doesn't have those kind of problems, you know, kind of a thing. See, it's hard to understand when you don't go through something. For some people, it's harder to understand. For me, it was harder to understand, which is why I have to go through everything so I can understand. Well, so I didn't get these emotional women. Back in the 70s and in the 80s, that's kind of when the PMS, you know, the premenstrual syndrome thing kind of was a buzzword back then. They were identifying the problem because you never talked about it before. So then they started talking about it and researching and surveying and all that. And they found out, okay, this is normal. This is what happens to women before their period. They have a cycle. And so PMS. And so now, then at that time, it's like women, it was like their feelings were validated. Finally. Okay. Finally, there's a name to it. You know, when you name something, you always feel like, okay, you know, then there's a name for it. But then on the other hand, then it gives people an excuse where they just say, well, it's PMS. I can't help it because it's PMS. So we're going to talk about that too tonight. There's an old saying and an old song that said, walk a mile in my shoes before you accuse, criticize, and abuse. Walk a mile in my shoes. Well, before, I hadn't walked a mile. I hadn't walked two steps in anybody's emotional shoes. I was perfectly fine. And then as I got in my late 20s, just bad PMS. I'm just, the cycle was really, really bad. We had just moved to Modesto. I'd just become a brand new pastor's wife at 25. And you're serving and you're doing all this and you're around these people and, you know, when you're the pastor's wife, people have ideas about you. They just do. And even when you're 25, they do. And so, you know, you can't fly off the handle. I'm pretty much a controlled person, but inside, it's a different story. And so it was very, very hard to go through these oceans of emotions and the irritation and the anger and the, you know, just the, oh, everything's bugging me and all that kind of a thing when you have to be around people. And so it just kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I had no idea why. I can look back now and realize, okay, estrogen, too much estrogen, estrogen dominance, you whack out, which is what was happening to me. So I began having great compassion on my fellow women. You know, fellow sisters, when I could understand, didn't want to be around them during that time, but I could understand and have compassion on them. And so since then, I feel like I've walked a million, trillion, zillion, if there's another word after that, miles in those shoes. So some of you today, maybe you don't experience that. Maybe you've never experienced that. Or maybe you're just beginning to. Maybe you've been there, done that, whatever it might be. But this message is good even if you don't experience that, because it can produce compassion and understanding for the women around you, because there's plenty of women, let me tell you, there's plenty of women who have the emotional ups and downs kind of a thing. Now, one woman in particular, I think it was the first time I gave the message. It was like the third time she came back and said, you know, the first time and the second time you gave the message, I sat there and I thought, I don't have those problems. Gee, that's too bad about those crazy other women. But she said, I don't know what happened, but now I understand. Now I have gone through it. So it does, you know, we don't know what's around the corner in our bodies and in our lives and whatever, you know, it can hit us at any time. And even if it doesn't, it causes us again to be more compassionate. So it's a good message for us to keep under our belt. So, as I said, I had had those years of really bad PMS, and I got to the point where I prayed, Lord, I pray weird things. Lord, could we trade here? Could I have horrible physical symptoms and be perfectly fine emotionally? Because then that doesn't affect other people. When emotionally you're lashing out and you're beep, 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 you know, you're doing that. But a physical, it's just affecting me. You know, strange prayer, but the next month, I had the worst period I had ever had. I was hemorrhaging. It was awful. It was awful. I ended up 2 weeks later having my uterus removed because I had a huge fibroid tumor. And after that, I was perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Well, I find out now it's just too much estrogen causes all that stuff. So I was just like, so it was like the Lord delivered me. I was so happy, so thankful, very, very thankful. And I had a lot of years of, you know, no PMS or no anything. I was 33 at that time, which is pretty young to have that. But then I started having problems again, and I had thyroid problems, which is all interconnected with all your hormones because it's a hormone thing and all that. And then you start approaching menopause and throw that one in there. And I was all messed up again for many years. And I've shared that before and I'm not going to go on and on, but all that to say you're not alone if that's you or if you've experienced anything like that, and you can get through it. Victoriously, you can get through it. So this message has helped me and helps me understand. There's two reasons why, and I think it helps other women too. Is number one, it identifies that, okay, this is our body. This is the way God made our bodies, not crazy, but this is the changes every month, to understand that and to be prepared that these changes are going to take place and to learn and to know what we can do about that, which we'll talk about. It also brings us out of isolation, because the enemy always says to you, you're the only one. You're the only one. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? They're all fine. They're all fine. And it makes us realize that, wait a minute, I am not the only one. I'm really not crazy. Or maybe crazy is normal for all women. Maybe this is just the way that it is. So it does help that, and then it brings fresh perspective to our lives biblically, gives us instruction to equip us as to how to then handle those emotions. Because if they come, then what does the Word of God say? Because if you don't have the Lord and you're not obeying the Word and you're out there, you're going to go with your emotions. You're going to flip out. You're going to crash your car. You're going to do crazy things. You're going to say things you don't want to say. You're going to react and all that. And this helps us. Okay, Lord, you know what's going on in me. Now I know what's going on in me. Now what does your word say? And give me the power of your Holy Spirit to walk victoriously. And so it's good and it's needed. There are so many women today and that are controlled by their emotions, and too many Christian women who feel depressed and who feel crazy. And, you know, and it's worse. I mean, this 21 years ago, it was bad, but today, it's all over the place, and it's so sad. It's just sad. And I ask myself, why? Why is this? Is it really more? Have women always been this way? You know, yes, women have always been this way. Women weren't allowed to talk about it. Women were told they were crazy. Women were put in insane asylums. You know that. When they're going through menopause way back in those days, they're put in insane asylums. They just have a hormone imbalance and you're locked up. You know, today, don't want to freak anybody out, but we all know that there's hormones in our food. There's chemicals in our food. There's pesticides. And those things are called something that I can't pronounce, but they mimic estrogen in our bodies. It's a chemical that we get, but it mimics estrogen in our bodies. So it tells our bodies, you have a lot of more estrogen, and then you have a lot more symptoms. We're also more aware of all of this, and so we talk about it more. So then it sounds like more people are affected by this. It's also very acceptable to be, you know, PMS and all of that, and people just kind of accept it and lose control. Also, for us as Christian women, we have an enemy who hates us, who is out to get us. Not just out to ruin your day, but to destroy you, to trip you up, to make you fall. And he is working overtime because he knows the Lord's coming back soon. And so he's working overtime to get us. So it's all those reasons. So this message has two parts to it. So tonight is more of the practical of kind of talking about our body and our cycle and all of that, so that we, you know, okay, there's reasons for me feeling this way. There's reasons for the ups and downs. I'm not alone. Okay. Then there's the second part, which is more important than the first part, the biblical part, the what to do. Now, what does God's word say that I'm to do? How am I supposed to handle these emotions, and how am I supposed to yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him to rule over me and not my emotions? So it is very, very important that we hear both parts. Typically, I've done this in one day, and we lock the doors and nobody can leave, so you can hear the second part, but you get to go home for a whole week. And you have to come back, okay? You have to come back. It's not allowed. It's against the rules. Someone will find you. Okay, you really have to hear that, because otherwise we can hear what we hear tonight and then just have that, oh, it's just I can't help it. It's just an excuse. But there is something that you can do, and you can biblically and obediently do what the Lord says for you to do. You might think again that you're the only one, or you look around and you think, well, all of these people that I know, they're perfectly fine. I don't see them crying in the hallway or flying off the handle or beating anybody up or you know, or doing anything like that. I think they're fine. But you know, it might be that there's a lot of spiritual women that you know in your life. They may be suffering the same thing, but they have learned to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. They have learned to say no to their flesh, yes to the Spirit, and they've learned to walk victoriously. And I think we all want to be one of them. So here we go. There are good emotions. There are hard emotions. So, you know, that song that we sing, how does that go? Blessed be your name. And it's the line is, in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow, when the sun's shining down on me and the world's all as it should be. I don't know if you have a day like that. But those are the kind of feelings and the emotions we like. We like happiness, don't we? We like joy and perky and optimistic and positive and cheerful and energetic. We like those happy emotions. Tell me something good. You know, tell me, oh, yes, you're going to have a baby. Yes, this. Oh, you know, it's just wonderful. Don't we love to be up? Huh? Yes. Okay, then there are those hard emotions when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, on the road marked with suffering, there's pain and the offering, and there's trials, and there's warfare, and there's fatigue, and there's sickness, and there's that monthly cycle, there's postpartum depression, There's menopause, there's anger, there's confusion, there's sadness, there's depression, there's detachment, and on and on and on and on we go. We don't like those feelings. I don't like those feelings. But we do feel them. We experience them from time to time. But we need to remember that God gives us those emotions to enjoy, to express ourselves, not to be brought down, not to be controlled by. There's a book that was written in the early 90s called The Emotional Phases of a Woman's Life, Christian author Jean Lush. And I borrow really heavily for this part of this of the study here from her book. She gives a guided tour through the woman's monthly menstrual cycle. So that's what I'm going to pull from the book. The book gives us a greater understanding. It was really easy to read. I am not a doctor, obviously, or a nurse or any. I have never taken a medical class at all. I'm fascinated by it. I do a lot of reading and a lot of research on my own, but I am not an expert at all. I read a lot. I have opinions that I'm going to try not to give, or if I do give them, I'm going to tell you it's my opinion. I have had a world of experience, though, in the area of emotions. So by that, I might be an expert in that. In this book, she begins by kind of arguing the idea of the PMS thing, because still in that time, it was very controversial. Is it real? Is it not real? She quotes somebody saying over 5 million women are in the dark about severe hormone imbalance affecting them 10 days out of the month. They are frightened by violent fluctuations in mood, depression, weight gain, and they don't know what's causing them. It's one of the greatest medical and political controversies of our time. The author said, the millions of us who have experienced hormonal changes and know the effect they have on us find it ridiculous that many professionals, intelligent people, deny such problems exist, but they do. And I don't know, maybe some of you have seen a doctor or two who wants to tell you that you're crazy, that what you're feeling doesn't really exist. I have, and I wanted to punch a couple of them. I didn't, but I wanted to. She goes on to state that, of course, PMS is not just a symptom of the times. It's not just a buzzword. It's just been given a name. And it's been around forever, since the garden, you know. Women are women, and we've always been women. In fact, Queen Victoria kept a diary. And she ruled England for 60 years, and as they read her diary, they can see her monthly cycle because of her mood. There's a cycle to it. You know, she's real happy, and then it goes down, and then it goes back, you know? And yet, she was perfectly capable and able to rule England. So now we're going to go through a guided tour of Jane's menstrual month. Okay, most of the time, Jane is well-adjusted and happy in her life. But as the hormone levels in Jane's body rise and they fall, it affects her mood, her emotions, and even her personality. She is predictable as the tide, yet as unpredictable as the sea. And so we're starting with week one. And I probably don't need to say this, but I'm going to. You know, it's typically a 28-day cycle. So the first day of your period is day one, and then you count. So this week one is probably, you know, a couple of days after you've started, because then you start feeling better. So week one is the week that we want to live in for the rest of our lives. It's a great week. When we watch the ocean's incoming tide, we see the water level rise. The sea is alive with energy and excitement as the rushing, churning waters race toward the shore. This is the time this of the month, this week, is your time that you're self-directed, you're disciplined. That's when you say you're going to go on a diet, you're going to start exercising, all those things, and you're gung-ho to do it. You're assertive. You even try to motivate your family and friends. Come on, get up, let's go jogging. You know, let's do all that. You're independent, you're optimistic, you're confident, you're positive, you're very task-oriented. You get it done, you're disciplined. You're very coordinated. Nothing falls out of your hand. No tripping, nothing. Okay? And you're reasonable. You're very sociable. This is when you want to have a party. You start making party plans. You're going to invite all these people over and you're going to do this and that. It's just going to be so much fun. And you're also aware of your sexual feelings, if you know what I mean by that. This is a passionate, energy-giving time. You're up early. You have your devotions. You love the Lord. You're going to open your Bible. You're going to pray. You're going to read. You're going to sing zippity-doo-dah. You're going to, you know, if you're a lady, not a little girl, but you're going to set that nice, pretty table. And for your family, you're going to do little extra things. And maybe the girls are going to do their hair a little different, wear a different outfit or something like that. As a mom, you're going to wake up, you know, before you wake up your kids, you just look at them because they're so sweet and so cute. And, oh, they left their socks out. Oh, that's okay. Kind of a thing. And you make this wonderful breakfast. And maybe you girls are recognizing your mothers here, too. You send them off to school with lots of love and kisses, and you start to plan your day, and you're just going to do this and that, and you're just, oh, it's just going to be great. And you're thinking about your wonderful husband and, oh, and just, oh, all that. So that's your whole week. And then week two, this is when the estrogen levels off and then it starts to decline a little. The tide is in, the brimming sea pulses and moans. It's heady and inspiring. Jane's driving ambition gives way to creativity now. She is more likely to concentrate on a specific project, where in week one she was going to do this, 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 all these plans. Week two, she's more focused. There's blue skies overhead. She's happy. She's hopeful. She's easygoing. She has a sense of well-being and inner strength. So this time she sets more realistic goals. Okay, I won't start to run 25 miles. I think I'll run 5 miles. She's less assertive, but she's very creative. She pulls out the photo albums, the scrapbook, that kind of a thing, starts to sew. It's peaceful. She really isn't bothered by little irritations. She's idealistic, dreams and goals for herself and for her family. Now, at the end of week two, is when ovulation occurs. Ovulation, the fertile seed, the estrogen is rising again and the progesterone is rising. And I have read so much on estrogen and progesterone and I wish I could get it down right, but I can't. When I read it, it's like, yes, I understand, but try to say it, I can't say it. There is a time at high tide just before the waters recede when the sea is fertile with life, ripe for the fisherman's lure. Although the waters are never really still, there is a tense quiet as the sea prepares for its returning journey. She feels physically good, but not quite as good as she did, but she's not quite as assertive. She's a little more passive, a little more introverted. She's having some second thoughts on that big party she's planning next week. You know, maybe I went overboard here. I don't know. Now, her relationships are good, but she'd rather just get together with one friend instead of the whole group. And she's very loving and accepting toward people. This time she has very strong motherly feelings, where she grabs her kids a lot and hugs and doesn't want them to go out and texts me when you're there and, you know, call me and, you know, and all that. Very protective. Sentimental feelings toward her children and her husband. She pulls out the baby book and she looks through the baby book and all and reminisces and all of that. She's also very sexually ready, if you know what I mean, because ovulation occurs, and that's the time where babies are conceived, and a woman isn't as ready as a man all the time. Men tend to be ready all the time, and women aren't ready all the time. And so this time of the month, she is more ready. Now, for those of you who are not married, this is not the time to be talking to boys or going out on dates. It just isn't. You just don't do that. When you're married, this is the time to get in bed with your husband and have a good time. But not if you're not married. You have to be aware of that. That's why you're having these feelings. You need to guard yourself and stay away. She's tolerant of small irritations, and she's content. Now, week three is the ebb tide, where rising estrogen and then overriding progesterone comes in and is released throughout our bodies. And during this week, in week three, there are several up and down days. One day you're feeling one way, the other day you're feeling the other way. You're up and down, or it could be in the morning, in the afternoon, you know, just up and down. There's something called the doldrums, like the calm before the storm. In tropical seas, there were times when crippling storms caused havoc for ships caught in their pathway. Just before the storm, the sailors would experience an oppressive and eerie quiet. They had a sense of foreboding and gloom, and all efforts to change position were fruitless. They could not escape the oncoming storm. And that's the way that it is in week three, because you know what's right around the corner. Now, you're subject to variable feelings, good days, bad days. You're moody, gloomy. Sometimes you can have a sense of doom over you. You start doubting yourself. Oh, why did I do that? Why did I plan that? Why did I say that? You're slowing down. You don't like pressure. You know, don't ask me that right now. I can't deal with that right now. You start being discouraged. You're less friendly. You start making phone calls and canceling your party. You're longing for a more peaceful life. You're getting impatient with those darling little children. You start dropping things. You're very uncoordinated. They just slip right out of your hand, or you're brushing your hair and it goes off. Or your teeth. I do that quite often. I don't know why, but I will end up with toothpaste just about everywhere. At the end of week three, the two hormonal tides ebb. Estrogen rises slightly, progesterone surges in to dominate the scene. A contrary restlessness invades the fickle, retreating waters. You try not to think about what's ahead, that you've got to do this and you that, because you just get too overwhelmed. I can only handle what's right in front of me. Don't ask me that. I can only deal with this. I can't listen to both of you at the same time. I can only do this. Week four, the outgoing tide. That's premenstrual. It's estrogen and progesterone levels drop. There's a tense anxiety that builds as the churning sea empties into itself. You don't really want to do anything that week. You don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to talk to anybody. You have a headache. You walk by and the socks on the floor aren't cute anymore. I told them to pick those up. And everybody's bugging you. You cry over everything, and the noises can drive you crazy. And you might think, am I losing my mind? I just want to scream. I want everyone to leave me alone. I don't feel like praying. I'm a failure. I don't like this. My chocolate sounds really good right now. I can't stand anything. I need help. Now, I don't know. This sounds severe, and I don't know how many of you have experienced or do experience this severity. I did. When I had my cycle, I did. This was me at that week. It was, just about to come unglued and unraveled and explode. Now, funny how my husband didn't know You know, you think everybody can know how you're feeling, then they don't. Not that I was really good at self-control, but it's those feelings, you know, and people can't, they don't know your feelings. They can't, unless you verbalize it, they don't know. But that was me. I just wanted to start my period. Get this all out of me. You're very reactive, irritable, touchy, nervous, moody, unstable, unable to concentrate, sensitive to noise, unpredictable, outbursts of emotions, unreasonable, lack of self-confidence, food binges, crave sweets, you have unspiritual feelings, you need extra sleep, you're depressed, you're weepy, temper outbursts, loss of self-control, frustrations, fear of losing control, jumpiness, you know, somebody walks down the hall, what do you hear? Impaired judgment, hazy thinking, expressed resentment, you're hypercritical, you're biting in speech, and you're suspicious. I knew she didn't like me. She wouldn't have come to my party anyway if I would have invited her. You're forgetful. You're talking way too much. You're melancholy. You're super sensitive. You're irrational. You shout. I had a friend who just, she would just shout. She would just feel like shouting, and she just shouted. You're impulsive. Don't go to the mall in week 4. Your negative attitudes of self. You have a split personality. Irritated when hungry. You're feeling forever. This is forever. This is always going to be my life. Is going to be like this forever. You're sluggish. You have sudden mood swings. You're on the phone and you're fine. What did you say? You know, you're just kind of mood swings. You're uptight. You can't relax. Expressed hostility. You lash out for no reason. You're jealous. You cry over everything. You kind of have a blanket of fog feeling. Are you talking to me? You don't know. You have a desire to be alone. Do not call my name anymore today. You want to run away. You have morbid memories. You're hateful. Desire to flee. You just want to run away. I felt like that quite often. You have a touch-me-not attitude. You know, the week before, or the week and a half before, you were already, and don't even think about it. Don't come near me. I don't want to be touched. In low tide, the waters draw back, but they are by no means still. You're irritated. Your head is pounding. Your body starts hurting. No one understands how I feel. And you just want everyone to leave you alone. The tide wanes, then swells, throbs, and roars to the flood, the shore again. The incoming tide draws the waters into fullness, just like our internal tide is drawing forth fresh hormones and changing our emotional sea. You have that headache and the backache and the cramps and you're nauseous and you just feel awful, and you want it to start right now. Does anybody feel like that? I don't want to be like the only one here. Anybody ever felt like that? Okay, thank you. I need this. Otherwise, this is not good if I'm the only one. Man, I don't feel like that anymore because I don't have a period. But and then, boop, you start your period. And you have cramps, and you still feel icky, but, you know, you kind of start feeling a little better. And the kids get home from school, and they're not so bad after all. And husband comes home from work, and you don't mind cooking dinner. And then you just start feeling so good, and you start planning that party that you canceled. Because it just starts all over again. And I remember years ago, one of the women had her husband listen to this because she wanted him to understand. A lot of men have listened to this, and it actually has really helped them. And he got to this part, and he threw his hands up in the air, and he said, "It starts all over again." You know, just like, because that sounded like a lifetime. It was just a month. Yeah, again, again, again. So, okay, we can relate. It's nice to know that you're normal, that you're not alone. Maybe, like, obviously most of you don't have these severe symptoms or whatever you want to call them, but you have, I'm sure, that list that I read, there's quite a few that you do experience. If you don't experience any of that, aren't you thankful? And you thank the Lord for that. I'm serious. Because it's not fun. It is not fun. Now, the first time I gave this message back in the olden days, beforehand, I gave 10 women, including myself at that time, a monthly chart and a list of all those feelings and emotions that I had read. And I asked them to chart their cycle for 2 months every single day so that they were to write down the day of their cycle, the emotions that they felt that day, the days of the events of the day, their diet, what they were craving, any problems and the stresses and how they handled them. And then in the other column, how I should handle them biblically. And so at that time, those were women that loved the Lord. Some were leaders, some were not, but they loved the Lord. They had a relationship with the Lord. And if you saw them at church, you would think that they were the sweetest, most spiritual, godly women that you could find. And their top 10 emotions from those 2 months from that group of women that they felt were split personality, moody, cry over anything, feeling fat, hateful, super sensitive, a desire to be alone, unspiritual feelings, and a desire to flee. Yes, those were your Bible study leaders. And your pastor's wife. Isn't that great? Isn't that nice that we don't know what people are feeling or thinking all the time? But it's legitimate. I mean, this is what they were dealing with. And I redid this in 2005 and asked 10 different women. And those top 10 emotions were, which was nice, peaceful. Like, oh, I got a good group of these women. I was not in that group. But they were task-oriented, hazy thinking, or unable to concentrate, tired, grouchy or cranky, overwhelmed, sensitive, irritated, feeling fat, frustrated. Some of the notes that they jotted down. Life is looking good, wonderful family and friends, positive, happy, good day, weary. Things seem big and hard, tired, foggy, fat. People are loud and noisy. All people irritate me. I want to go far away and sleep. Feeling good, energetic, encouraged, assertive, willing to help others, positive, joyful, clear thinking, withdrawn, desire to flee. Don't want to be touched. Pessimistic, irritable, impatient, feeling fake when I'm being kind. That's called obedience. And we'll talk about that next week. Annoyed with passive people or people that can't make up their mind or look me in the eye. Needing verbal affirmation. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll go eat worms. Not believing any verbal affirmation. You know, you really need it. And then you say, oh, sure, you're just saying that. Sociable, cleaning mood, anxious, content, relaxed and happy, hazy thinking, disciplined, overwhelmed, melancholy, sociable, weepy, blanket of fog feeling. Not good, not bad, just. Whatever. Cranky, quarrelsome, irritable, frustrated, discouraged, relaxed, unsociable, sociable, patient, friendly, and on and on and on and on. Now, the point again to that is so that you know this is normal. It's normal. These women are not crazy. These women love the Lord. They're godly women. And they try, and they say no to their flesh, and they say yes to the Spirit. And I think it's helpful to understand how our bodies work, that these, that those hormones in our bodies are released. They have an effect on our emotions. We can, we don't have to, it doesn't mean we are, but we can feel those things, some of those things, all of those things. It's good for us to gain the knowledge, and it's good for us, it's just good to be educated, good to talk about it. And it's helpful to know that there is a reason why we're feeling the way that we're feeling. And again, one of the women who had her husband listen to this message years ago, because her husband every month would tell his wife, you're in your flesh. You're just in your flesh. And you just need to get out of your flesh. He had obviously had no clue. So he listened to the tape at that time. And he had a greater understanding that this is not just his wife being in the flesh. This is what's going on in a woman's body. This is what she has to deal with. And she might be trying as hard as she can during that time and to be patient and to help her along. So it is just a good thing for us to know, to be aware of. I don't think my girls were in that message in 92. I don't think you were. Were you? You were too young. But I had them listen to it, and before they got married, I gave it to their husbands-to-be, and I had them listen to it. You're going to live with my daughter. You better know what's going on here, you know? And Jonathan is just very kind and sensitive. Hormones are very powerful in our bodies. They are very powerful. And when they are out of whack, we are out of whack. And again, this knowledge that we have, it can't be just so we go, oh, well, then now it gives me an excuse to hang it all out. Just let it all hang out. And this is why it's so important to have part two, which, of course, we're running out of time, and we don't have time for it tonight. It'll be next week. So we can't control the way we feel. I mean, if this is a hormonal thing and you're feeling these things, it's legitimate. But I can control how I react. I can't change. If there is a physiological thing going on in my body, I cannot change that by positive thinking or anything else. But I can change how I see it, how the Lord sees it, and I can change how I react to it, which, of course, is next week, as I said. One word on menopause, because several times ago I had some lady ask me, you know, well, what about menopause when you're in week four all the time, you know? And at that time, I hadn't gone through menopause, so I didn't know. Well, I know that now. And some women, they skate through menopause. Some women don't ever have PMS. And they go through menopause, their period stops, and that was it. You know, I think there's not very many of them, but they are around, and praise the Lord for that, because they can deal with all the rest of us. But for the most of us, we're going to go through something, you know. In menopause, you know, your body's it's slowing down, and your ovaries are slowing down, and all of that. And there's all kinds of problems. There's all kinds of things that we have to deal with, because your cycle is completely messed up. You have a period 1 month, and you don't have one for three, and then you think you're done, and then you start again. You don't have a period for 11 months, and then you start again. You can have hot flashes and night sweats and lots of other unpleasant symptoms. I think one thing I have talked to several women, and I think one thing is this, you know, you read through all of these other emotions, and then you get into menopause, and you think, I don't have any emotions. I just don't care. I just don't care. And you don't care, and sometimes you wonder if somebody you love died, if you would even care. And that's very real. It's very real. You'll get through it, but it's very real. And then, then you can beat yourself up because you don't feel and you don't care. And then you say, well, why would I beat myself up? Maybe I really do care, because if I didn't care, then I wouldn't even care. But now that I care that I don't care, maybe it means I care. Isn't it fun to be me? How I think? And then, you know, they say, well, she's gone through menopause. And that's always been interesting to me, because I watch my mom's 77 today, who seems to have never finished menopause. And when I talked to my endocrinologist specialist, he said, women never finish. You're never finished. And I said, you know what? Thank you, because that makes sense to me. A woman's body always changes. 80 years old, your hormones are still, they're still changing, and they can still be out of whack just because you don't have a period. It just, it's never over. So I don't know, that really helped me. Do research yourself, you know. You can't believe everything you read. You cannot believe everything on the internet. But you have to search out. If you need help, hormonal help, you need to research that. You need to find a doctor. You find a medical practitioner, someone who will listen to you and who will help you, because there is help out there. But don't believe everybody or everything that you read. And the Lord has given us discernment. And it doesn't matter how educated someone can be that's telling you something. If the Lord says no, no, then, you know, he's the mighty counselor. We'll talk more about that next week also. So for those of you, especially the younger ones, if you have never charted your cycle, it's a good idea to do that, because you may not even be aware that you have this cycle. Why you feel fat all the time on this certain day? You weren't fat yesterday. You're not going to be fat tomorrow. Why are you fat today? It doesn't make sense, you know? Or why am I grouchy here and I wasn't grouchy here, and yet you see, oh, each month I'm grouchy on this, you know, particular day. So if you want to chart, we've made charts for you. They're out on the table. When you leave, you can grab one. You can, you know, you would probably want to make a copy. If you do, you need to do at least 2 months or you're not going to see a pattern. And then on the other list, on the other side is a list of all those lovely emotions that we went over. So you know, do 2 or 3 months and see if there is a pattern. Then you can know what's ahead and plan ahead, which we will talk about next week. So next week, as I said, very important to come back, because now we've got all this information. And now, what does the Bible say? What does the Lord say? How is he going to help us? Because we need help. We need help. So what does his word say? How do we biblically look at this and have him empower us to get through this? Because it's who we are. We are women, and it is the rest of our lives. And we need to learn how to walk through all of this victoriously. So I'm going to close in prayer, and if you need prayer for anything, you want to ask questions, not that anybody has a bunch of answers, but you have anything you need, there'll be women up here who would love to pray with you. So let me pray. Father, thank you for, you are the great creator, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, wow. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing how our bodies work. And we don't even know, Lord. We only know a little bit from what we've learned in school or what we've read. And, you know, you're intimately acquainted with all of our ways, physically, emotionally, and always. And, Lord, we love being women. It can be challenging at times, but it is wonderful, because we can feel the love and higher highs, Lord, with you. And Lord, but those lows are hard. But you are with us. And where could we go from your spirit? Nowhere. Your spirit is always in us and with us. And we praise you and thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you would use this just information in our lives to help us to be aware and help us to help other women. And teach us your ways, Lord. I pray, Father, also, I ask that you would bring every single one back next week so that we can be equipped further biblically and know what your word says and know the tools that we have to bring our thoughts into captivity, to have a disciplined mind and life. Thank you and praise you, Lord, for your love, for your goodness and your grace toward us. Bless these women, Lord. Minister to them, encourage them, and keep them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and there will be women up front here to pray.